Well, this is a surprise, amen. And a great privilege to stand behind this sacred desk. Great privilege to stand anywhere. I just got over gout. Anybody in here ever had gout? Hallelujah. I mean, y'all know what suffering's like, amen. C.H. Spurgeon suffered with gout over the years, and a fellow came to him one time and said that he thought arthritis was worse than gout. And Spurgeon said, well, arthritis is like putting your thumb in a vise, cranking it up as tight as it'll go. He said, crank it two more times, you got gout. So I thought they were going to have to call an ambulance or at least a tow truck, amen, because it was in my toe, amen. That hurt. And then I found out that gout has a lot to do with your gut, amen, what you eat. And so now everybody at church is trying to make sure I eat healthier and all that good stuff, and that's not easy, amen. But I'm going to talk a little bit about eating maybe this morning. That'll be a blessing, right? But it ain't what you're thinking about. Turn to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. I didn't bring my glasses. I didn't expect to preach. And I told Brother Mike Walls, I was talking to him, I said, I don't even have anything ready really to preach. I don't guess I will. I said, I got a beard anyway. I said, I don't know any good preachers with a beard. I'm looking at some of y'all with beards. That's what I'm picking with. I'm growing a beard out for our Roundup Sunday. And you know, I tell everybody at church I'm going Old Testament. Amen. But one of my ladies said that it's because I eat so much chicken, I'm starting to look like Colonel Sanders. That's what she said. Maybe she's onto something there. Jonah, we're going to look at the last verse of the first chapter. I wish I'd brought my glasses. Amen. The last verse of the first chapter. Appreciate Brother Ennis. Had him preach for us at the Old Pass Fellowship that we had back a few months ago. And I said, it's good to have Clyde Eborn here. Amen. I don't know what happened to me, but... And he turned around and looked for him. I was talking about him. I said, Charles Ennis, Clyde Eborn. Don't know how I did that, but he's a great blessing. And I'm again, honored to be here. Verse 17, last verse, chapter 1. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Let's go to the Lord in a brief word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I stand behind this desk where no man should stand alone. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would energize and use the thoughts that you've laid upon my heart. And then, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do something special to the hearts of all that hear this morning. Father, we are dependent upon your presence to give us what we need. We need to be fed from your table. We need to hear from heaven. And Father, it is our prayer, our earnest desire, that you speak to each and every heart your will for our lives. It's not our brother or our sister, but it's us each individually that need your help this day. And Father, I pray that you just hide me behind the cross and use me as an instrument and a vessel in your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Here in the book of Jonah, we have the biggest fish story of all time. But this story is not like a lot of fish stories. And most of the time when people tell a fish story, you know it always gets a little bigger every time they tell the story. They add to it just a little bit. But this is not a fable. This is not a fairy tale. This is fact. Amen. This is the greatest fish story of all time, and it's a true story. Amen. The story of Jonah and the whale. You say, I don't think it was a whale. Jesus said it was a whale. That settles it. Amen. Listen, if the Bible said it was a minnow, I'd say amen. God could have sent a shrimp to swallow Jonah. I'd have believed it. Amen. Because he's God. And God had a purpose. God had a plan here. And this brief book is only 48 verses long, but it's long on truth. A whole lot is said in this brief book. It's a brief resume of revival, really. This book is about a whole lot more than just a whale. It's about the will of God. And it's about more than just the will of God. It's about responding to the will of God and responding rightly. I've been told before that at Yom Kippur, the Jews will read the entire book of Jonah, everybody standing, and then after they finish reading the book of Jonah, they will say, as Jonah is, so are we. And I say amen to that. Especially as preachers, we have to admit there's a whole lot more of Jonah in us than we really are comfortable with. We are a lot more like Jonah than we like to admit. Just four things I want to look at, if Lord was willing this morning, if we have enough time, about this story. And I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject, a shot at a second chance. a shot at a second chance. First of all, we see a preacher's refusal. If you go back in chapter number 1, you'll see the story of the prodigal prophet, amen. You'll see the story of Jonah, the prophet of God, who, by the way, had been used of the Lord in the past. The Bible says that he was used in 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 25. He prophesied concerning the restoration of Israel under Jeroboam the second, and it came to pass. Amen. He had the touch of God on him. He was a prophet of God. He had had success in the past, but that doesn't promise that we're going to be faithful all the time. Just because God's used us in the past doesn't mean God is under obligation to use us again. We still have to be obedient to the Lord. We still need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And we see that instead of being faithful like he was in the past, he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Instead of running to God, he ran away from God. He went AWOL, and that's why God had to send a whale, amen, to go and get that prodigal prophet named Jonah. You say, well, why would he run away from the will of God? Well, probably the same reason we do. He didn't like what God had to say. God told him what to do. I mean, the perfect will of God revealed to him clearly, and it wasn't what he wanted to hear. God said, go, and Jonah said, no. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. By the way, I'll be honest, in the flesh, I don't blame him. Think about the wicked place that he was sent. If you go back, the Bible says that Jonah, the son of Amittai, was told to arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. Now, I want to say a couple things right there. According to Jewish history, and again, we don't know this as a fact, but according to Jewish history, his father was killed by the Ninevites. And if you read about the history of Nineveh, you'll find that it was a very wicked city. It was great in size and great in sin. They were brutal barbarians. They were known for taking people and cutting their heads off, sticking them on posts, and sticking them outside the gate of the city, just so you'd know what they did to people they didn't like. And it could have been that Jonah's dad was killed there. And so he had lots of reasons not to want to go to that place called Nineveh. By the way, I don't really want to go over there this century, amen, that part of the world. There's a whole lot of fighting and a whole lot of killing and people beheading people over there today. And his attitude toward them was a lot like some of us toward the people over there today. You ever heard anybody say, I just wish they'd drop a nuclear bomb over there and kill them all? I have. Might have thought of it a few times, amen. Best way to solve that problem over there is just make a parking lot. Just leave a big old pothole over there in the middle of the Middle East. That's a horrible, horrible attitude. That's the attitude that Jonah had. Jonah said, I don't care if they all go to hell. That's why God sent him to the belly of hell. He said, I was in the belly of hell. When he was in that well, he said it was like being in hell. God let him go to hell for 3 days, in a sense, so he would change his mind on that. You know, if we'd all get a little glimpse of hell, it'd change our attitudes about a lot of things, wouldn't it? I mean, what was your attitude when you heard about what happened down there in New Orleans? Was your attitude, ha, serves them right? Down there in Mardi Gras, all that wickedness, all that perversion, all that ungodliness, that's what they deserve. If tomorrow you heard that an earthquake hit San Francisco and Las Vegas and both of them were destroyed, what would your attitude be? Would you say, ha ha, or would you say, oh God? Would you rejoice because the wickedness was gone, or would you have remorse because of all the souls that died and went to hell in an instant? We're a lot more like Jonah than we like to admit. I heard about a Japanese soldier one time after World War II. He met a couple of World War II veterans and introduced himself. And he said, my name is Chow Main. And they said, well, good to meet you. What did you do in the war? He said, I was a kamikaze pilot. And they said, well, how come you're still here? I thought the kamikaze pilots crashed their planes and stuff. He said, that's true. He said, but I was chicken chow mein. Amen. There are a whole lot of people that get stricken chicken at the last moment. Amen. Adam, the very first word that man ever said was, I was afraid and I hid myself. First words recorded by man in the scripture, I was afraid. Elijah, after calling down the fire of God on Mount Carmel, after making the first non-profit organization, as Lester Roloff said, amen, getting rid of all those prophets of Baal, you would think that he would have said, all right, who's next? But instead, when he found out that Jezebel the infidel was on his trail and his warning poster was up all across the county, what happened? His backbone turned to jelly, his knees turned to spaghetti, and next thing you know, he's under a juniper tree crying out for God to kill him. That's one of the greatest men God's ever used. If he had that problem, we have that problem. God tells us what to do, and we just get discouraged, and next thing you know, we get afraid. By the way, he cried out for a great physician-assisted suicide. He said, God, why don't you just go ahead and kill me? And he never did die. Isn't that something? God came and got him in a chariot and carried him away. Amen. We just think it's all over and God's finished with us and might as well just go ahead and take us home. And God has something greater planned for us around the corner than we ever could imagine. Same thing for Jonah. Amen. Speaking of going places, by the way, in Williamston, we just got a super Walmart. All the ladies said, amen. You know, they've got a way for finding out whether or not if they find some bones. They've got a way for finding out now whether or not it was a lady or a man's bones. They lay the bones out, and if the feet automatically point toward Walmart and the jaw bones wore out, it's a woman. Amen? I just lost half the crowd right there. But my wife, we moved to Vidalia, Georgia. I pastored 3.5 years. I was a missionary to the Onion people of Vidalia, Georgia. We were only there 6 months. My wife said, I wish they had a super Walmart. They started building one 6 months after we moved there. Moved to Opelika, Alabama. I pastored 4.5 years. I'm originally a Tar Heel, by the way. Originally am from Roanoke Rapids. But we moved there, and she said, I wish they had a Walmart. 3 months after we were there, built one next door to the church. There was a creek and a row of trees between us and the church. My wife could walk to Walmart. She said, hallelujah. The angel said, ah. It was wonderful for her. We moved to Williamson, North Carolina. It took us almost 2 years. My wife's backslidden. Y'all pray for her. Amen. She's so happy. Heard about a lady. I'll try and fix this. I'll just say she wasn't a brunette or a redhead. How's that? Amen. A lady of a lighter hair color persuasion. She was weed eating out in the yard, and she didn't know, but her cat was up in the bushes, and while she was weed eating, the thing hit and cut the cat's tail off. She grabbed the cat, she grabbed the tail, jumped in the car, and took off toward Walmart. And her husband, when she was leaving, said, where are you going? You going to the vet? You going to the doctor? She said, I'm going to Walmart. He said, why are you going to Walmart? She said, they're the biggest retailer in town, ain't they? We see the wicked place. We see the wicked place that he was sent, and then we see the way the plan went. Amen. Verse number 3, the first two words might be some of the most important words in the entire book. The Bible says, but Jonah. God told him what to do, and then the Bible says, but Jonah. Instead of doing what God wanted him to do, he went where he wanted to go. Amen. He received the word, he refused God's will, and he ran the other way. He heard from deity and headed in another direction entirely. Nineveh was northeast, and he went west. He tried to get as far away from the will of God as possible. He said no to the Ninevites because he disagreed with the will of God. He disobeyed the will of God. Well, Lord, I didn't know you wanted me to go in the mission field. I thought you wanted me to pastor about 30 minutes away from mama. I didn't know you wanted me to go to a whole other state or a whole other country. Now, Lord, when I said I wanted to do whatever you wanted me to do, I didn't mean that. Heard of a preacher one time that came home, and he was discouraged after a Sunday night, and he came and set his Bible down the table, and he just sat down in the chair, and he was all dejected and depressed, his tie hanging all off, and his wife came in and said, honey, what's wrong? He said, honey, I just feel so used. And his wife said, hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord. He said, honey, didn't you hear what I just said? I said, I feel so used. He said, I know. And I remember in Bible college us going to the altar and praying, God, please use us. She said, I thought we wanted to be used. Amen. We get that way sometimes. And when we do, we resemble Jonah a whole lot more than we like to admit. There's a preacher's refusal. Number 2, there's a perilous ride. Verse number 4 says, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. God found him, and when God found him, he found him fast. Found him fast asleep. Jonah was on board that boat just sawing logs. I mean, he wasn't troubled at all about the fact that all those Ninevites were lost. He wasn't troubled at all about the fact that he was going away from the will of God. He should have been, but he wasn't. He should have been upset, but he wasn't. As a matter of fact, it's interesting to me that the sailors got upset before he did. And they had to ask him whether or not he was a preacher. You know, people shouldn't have to ask you if you're a Christian. They should know. If they've known you longer than a day or two, amen, they ought to know. You ought to have already given them a tract, talked to them about the Lord. They ought to know something about your life enough to know that you are a Christian. But Jonah found out that though you may get out of God's will, you cannot get out of God's reach. You can run, but you cannot hide. Though he was disappointing to God, and though he was disobedient to God, he was never denied by God. Amen. He was still God's child, and God was not finished with him yet. God sent a storm to wake him. You're reading verses 5 and 6, and you'll see God sent that storm to shake him up, and it worked. Amen. It woke him up. There are directing storms, there are perfecting storms, and there are correcting storms in our lives. This storm was sent, in verses 9 through 12, you'll see that either Jonah had made a rash decision, or he had a flash revelation. I don't know, but it worked. He said, "Y'all cast me in the water. It's my fault." He did do that, at least, amen. He admitted. He said, "It's because of me." He said, "Y'all throw me in the water and it'll solve the problem." Whether the Lord revealed it to him or not, I don't know, but it worked. They threw him out in the water, and verses 13 and 15, they felt kind of bad about it, actually. But they took up Jonah in verse 15 and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. God said, "Go." Jonah said, "No." The wind said, "Blow." And the sailor said, "Throw." Amen. They threw him overboard into Davy Jones' lock, and old Jonah thought he was a goner. But it was about to get worse. You talk about going from the frying pan into the fire. Amen. Now, by the way, we read that the Lord prepared that whale, that great fish, that whale for Jonah. That word prepared means to be done ahead of time, way ahead of time. That meant that God did more than just have that whale show up for Jonah. That meant that God had that whale grow up for Jonah. I believe when that whale was a little minnow, amen, when that whale was born, God said, "That's the one. I got an appointment for you to keep. You need to be at such and such a location at such and such a time." Amen. I don't believe Jonah swam around for a while. Maybe he did. I don't know. But I believe that when Jonah landed, I think that whale was waiting on him. Amen. Right there with his mouth wide open. Don't know for sure about that. God sent a storm to wake him and a stomach to take him. Amen. He was about to get a free ride on Free Willy. Amen. He wasn't going to sleep, actually. He was going to try and be on a flown blubber rat mattress, amen, and try and sleep. But he was not going to get any sleep for 3 days. So God wailed the daylights out of him, amen. God took care of business and taught him a lesson. Now, I like food. Amen. I'm the only one, apparently, amen. Y'all can look at me and tell that I like food. I like to eat, amen. We were talking about Brother Billy Kelly this morning at breakfast, and I agree with him. Brother Billy Kelly said his idea of a balanced meal was a chicken leg in each hand. Amen. I've had chicken young, I've had chicken old, I've had chicken hot, I've had chicken cold, I've had chicken tender, and I've had chicken tough, but I ain't never, ever had chicken enough. Amen. I like eating. And you can look at me and tell. Somebody came to church one time, a teenage girl, she said, "Where's the pastor?" She knew who I was, but she didn't know where I was. And one of my men said, "He's around in front." She said, "I know he's around in front, but where is he?" Amen. I didn't like that. Amen. Where's Brother West at? Brother West, is this yours? Can I play around with it some? Might play around with it here in a minute, so I'm going to turn it on and hope it works. Amen. We're going to find out. He ain't really playing this thing. I think it's all programmed in there is what it is. I like to eat. Now, how many of you like Chinese food? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you like Mexican food? Say amen.
Amen.
If God called me to be a missionary to Mexico, I would starve to death overnight. I'd be a martyr for the faith. Amen. Do I need one of these?
Yeah.
All right. Hallelujah. If I just couldn't handle it. I really, guacamole, unholy moly, as far as I'm concerned. I don't go for that Mexican food. My wife loves it, but I can't stand it. I still can't figure out how to turn it on there. But there we go. Hallelujah. Probably the button that says on. Amen. I like Chinese food. Amen. I don't care if my little man used to have a man. Amen. I got a dog out in the backyard. It's part chow. Amen. I don't care if the chow that I eat was part chow. I like it. Amen. Szechuan chihuahua. I like it, amen. Chicken bow wow, chicken meow, wonton woof woof. I like all of it, amen. I don't care if my beef used to bark or my egg roll used to roll over. It's all good to me, amen. I like all of it, but I don't like sushi. Sushi. If I'm going to eat fish, I want it cooked. Say amen right there. I don't like sushi. I eat just about any. I don't want to try beef tongue. I like beef. Have you ever seen beef tongue in the restaurant and it's just sitting there, a tongue? I don't want to taste anything that's tasting me while I'm tasting it. I just doesn't appeal to me. But I'll try just about anything. But sushi, and I've tried it. It's not horrible, but they named it right. Sushi. That's a good description of it. This is a case of sushi in reverse. Now, I said this was not a man eating a raw fish. This was a fish eating a raw man. Amen. I said before, I like eating chicken, but I'm not a chicken. Snakes don't bother me. Be honest with you. I stepped on a snake one time. I stepped on the same snake, Brother Cole, one time, 11 times. First one was by accident. The other 10 times on purpose. Amen. But
Snakes don't bother me. Amen. Spiders, I don't like them, but they don't creep me out. Don't bother me. But heights, I'm not afraid of heights. That doesn't bother me. But I have an understanding of those who have an irrational fear. I know people that just really can't take it. And I understand that. I have a memory that stands out in my mind that I believe is what causes me to have an irrational fear. When I was about 8 years old, we weren't in church or anything like that, we went to the beach. We were going to go to Nag's Head, we had a little cottage and everything, and it poured down rain, nothing we could do, so my parents said, let's go to the movie theater. Like I said, we won't in church anything like that, so we went to the movie theater. I'm 8 years old. Guess what we went to go see at the movie theater? Wow, I can't get this to work, amen? How do you work this thing, brother? That part I got, amen? I did get the on switch. I can't get the how do you hear it switch. Y'all recognize that, don't you? My parents took me to the movie theater to see Jaws 2 while we were staying at the beach. That was not a good thing, amen? By the way, they called that good. Duh-dum. After the first movie, duh-dum, you should have stayed out of the water, amen? It terrified me. I didn't get in the ocean. I didn't get in the bathtub. I didn't even want to drink a deep glass of water anymore, amen? I was terrified. My brothers, all the way up till I was 15, 16 years old, it could terrify me by just sneaking up behind me and going, duh-dum. Stop that, ain't funny. Duh-dum. Stop. I would have nightmares about sharks. In my closet. I had nightmares that I'd get up, open the closet door, shark. Just jump out from anywhere. Irrational fear. Honestly, this is just me. We went up to Pigeon Forge, 5 or 6 years ago, and they've got a thing up there, the aquarium of the Rockies or something like that. They got sharks swimming around in there, and they want you to walk through a tunnel of sharks, brother. Y'all ever been up there? Anybody ever been up there and done that? Did you walk through the tunnel? Whew, I did too. My eyes were closed the whole time. They got one of those little things you stand on and just keep on going. That's what I did. I came out the other side. I said, I'm brave. Amen. I went through there. Not for me. I can't think of anything personally more terrifying than being eaten alive by a fish. Amen. And that's what happened to Jonah. I mean, he could have wrote a story. Jaws, the inside story, you know. You think about it. We read the story, and if you grew up in church, you know, you heard it in Sunday school, and to you, it's just a story. But this was a terrifying experience. I mean, think about this. I don't know what kind of whale it was, a killer whale, a blue whale. I don't know what kind. I do know two things about it. Number one, it was big. I've been to the Smithsonian and seen a gigantic whale, and it was just a baby they had in there. I know two things. It was big, and it was Baptist. It was big because it's big enough to hold him, and it was Baptist because it took him all the way under. Amen. So I know that. Plus, he was hungry. That's another sign it was a Baptist. But he had to go through this very scary situation, this very terrifying situation. Again, think of the stink. He's in there with all that rotting fish and inside. I mean, a disgusting, terrible thing. A scary, horrible experience that he's going through with all those acidic juices and everything in there. I mean, it's bad when you think about it, when you imagine what it's like. But then again, if you've ever been out of the will of God, you kind of know a little bit about what it's like, don't you? It always stinks to be out of the will of God. It's always a scary thing to be out of the will of God. It always hurts to be out of the will of God. I preached the other Sunday on the high cost of a haircut. I preached about Samson, amen? And by the way, I'm convinced Samson was a blonde. Honestly, Samson, I think, was a blonde. Because, I mean, Delilah told him all those times, you know, tried to trick him, and that dummy told her finally, just kept on doing it. I think Eve was a blonde too. Anyway, I'm not sure. I mean, you can't blame Eve for being naive. She was only a few days old, amen? And I don't know what that forbidden fruit was, but ladies, I guarantee it was covered in chocolate. What do you think? Because, you know, the devil appealed to her. This is true. Look it up. The devil appealed to her by saying, oh, to make you wise. And yet she looked at it. The first thing she said was it was pleasant to the eyes. He didn't even mention that. The devil said, oh, yeah, that too. She looked at it and she thought, a bonbon. Yeah. Woo, that thing looks good. I bet that's Hershey's chocolate around that thing. Hey, listen, you don't, and I'm a redhead, so I give the blondes a hard time because y'all deserve it. Amen. That's just how it works. I think a face without freckles is like a night without stars. Amen. My grandma told me that freckles were angels' kisses, and I believe her, and if y'all don't, then y'all got to take that up with my grandma. Amen. Y'all going to be surprised when you get to heaven and all y'all got freckles, ain't you? Amen. You're going to be surprised. But you think about Samson getting out of the will of God. Look what happened to him. Think of King Saul. I mean, the list goes on. Jonah is an example of someone who got a second chance and took it. Lot got a second chance and didn't. Cain got a second chance and didn't. He wasn't a child of God. But God came to him and said, if you do right, well, you're not. And he didn't do right. I could preach a lot about those who didn't learn their lesson. Jonah, to a degree, did learn his lesson, but first he had to get into deep, deep trouble before he learned his lesson. There's a perilous ride. There's a preacher on the run, then there's a prayerful remembrance. Verse 1, chapter 2, then Jonah prayed. Then Jonah prayed. Should have been praying to begin with. Amen. He should have prayed and said, God, I don't want to go. This ain't where I want to go. Not what I want to do, but God, you said it. That settles it. He should have said, here am I, send me. Amen. He could have at least done like Moses and said, here am I, send Aaron. Amen. Moses was over there beating around the burning bush, you know, coming up with all kinds of excuses for why he couldn't do it. But when it came down to it, he did it. But what he wanted to do, but he did it. Well, Jonah had to go through all this first before he would pray. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. He fled down, he fell in, and he found out. So like that old preacher said, the prodigal son said that he took off from home and went down there to the far country, and then he took off his coat, he took off his shirt, took off his t-shirt, and finally he came to himself. Amen. Jonah came to himself, finally learned his lesson the hard way. And here's some fish food for thought. It took a fish to show Jonah how selfish he was. It wasn't until he was there in the whale's belly, in the fish's belly, that he realized what he had done. And again, a glimpse of hell will get us all back on track. Notice in verse number 9, I'm not going to read all of it for sake of time, but he said, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. Nowadays, about the only place you find thanksgiving is in the dictionary. In November, more turkeys sit at the table than sit on the table. That's the only time out of the year they thank God for what he's been giving them all year long. Only time out of the year they say thank you to God. I heard about two fellas that were crossing a field, and about halfway across, they turned around and saw two bulls heading their way. Realized they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. They started running. Well, it didn't take long for them to realize they weren't going to make it. They weren't running fast enough. And so the one fellow turned to the other guy, and he said, you go to church? Pray. He said, I don't know how to pray. I'm not used to praying. He said, well, just pray what you pray before you eat. He said, okay. And he stopped right in the middle of the field and said, dear Lord, I thank you for that. I'm about to receive. Kind of a strange prayer to pray, amen. But Jonah thanked God for what hit him. I mean, really, he said, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. And think about where he's at. Martin Luther said, God made the whole world out of nothing. And it is only when we see ourselves as nothing that God can make anything out of us. And I say amen to that. I read about a preacher that was on a short-term missions trip. And he was at a leper colony. And while he was there at that leper colony, Jack Hitton is his name, but while he was there at that leper colony, he said he was just tore up. He's sitting up on the platform. He's about to speak, and the pastor's over there. Different people out in the congregation, you know, they're all singing songs. He's looking at people, and they're missing ears and noses and all sorts of stuff, and it's just a heartbreaking situation. He said, and then one lady raised her hand. She only had one finger on that whole hand. And she said, I want you to sing my favorite song, preacher. Sing my favorite song. He said, yes, ma'am, we will. Didn't have to ask what it was. Everybody knew what her favorite song was. And they got up, stood up, and sang, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. She didn't have one finger on that hand, but she was counting her blessings. Afterward, the preacher was just tore up by it, and the pastor of the church said, I guess you'll never sing that song again, will you, after this? He said, oh, I'll sing it again, but I'll never sing it the same way. Never sing it the same way. It was a prayer of recognition. It was a prayer of repentance. If Jonah hadn't repented, Nineveh wouldn't have repented. Amen. It was a prayer of request. He remembered his obligation to God, and he renewed his dedication to God. And in desperation, if you pray without reservation, if you do it without negotiation, then God will get you out of your situation. If you will obey the Lord, if I will obey the Lord, if we will listen to the Lord. A lady in Atlanta said to Brother Mays Jackson one time, she said, don't you think it was a great miracle for Jonah to be swallowed by that whale? He said, yes, ma'am. He said, but I think it's an even greater miracle that he got out. That's why I titled the message, A Shot at a Second Chance. Look with me in verse 10, chapter 2. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, you can study that and read it all you want to, but he didn't go... Jonah didn't just swim out of the mouth. Jonah was shot out of that mouth. By the way, onto dry land? Onto dry land? He's out here in the water. Jonah's on dry land. Get the picture. That's the picture, okay? That's what I'm talking about a shot at second chance. Amen. Now, he said, I've had enough fish, thank you. And the whale said, the feeling's mutual. Amen. It's proof you can't keep a good man down. But he got regurgitation to the right location. Brother B.R. Lakin one time said he was careful about using certain words in the pulpit, you know. So I'll be careful. But I will say that Jonah had to repent and then the whale had to vomit. Amen. That's what the Bible said. Use that word vomit. It was a rebuke and a puke, a whirl and then a hurl. Amen. A barf to the wark and a yuck to the upchuck. Amen. He got rid of him and got him back to where he was supposed to be. In chapter 1, Jonah said, phooey, to the will of God, and he split out of town. In chapter 2, the whale said, patooey, and spit him out of his tummy, amen, and put him back where he was supposed to be. Now, that, again, we look at that and laugh a little bit, but that wasn't a fun experience for Jonah. That was not a fun experience, but thank God he did what he was told. You can read in chapter 3, Jonah did what he was told in the first place. God was able to work. Jonah changed his mind. Nineveh changed their mind. God was able to move. Now, I can preach a little bit more about Jonah and how he didn't really learn his lesson like he should have. There's another whole chapter people don't talk about a whole lot. But I want to hurry up and end with this. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 30, Jesus said, and by the way, those are two very important words. Jesus said it. As Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so also shall the Son of Man be to this generation. Verse 32, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. On one hand, you have the picture of Jonah. On the other hand, you have the person of Jesus. You know, Jonah was paying and praying for his sins. Jesus paid and prayed for our sins. He was sinless. Jonah was disobedient. Jesus was obedient even to the death of the cross. Jonah, when he was thrown out of that water, thrown out of that boat into that water, he did it out of a shove. But Jesus came down to this earth because of love. Jesus chose to die for you and I. When he was on the cross, we were on his mind. You say, how much did he love us? He loved us this much. Stretched his arms out wide and on the cross said, Father, forgive them. Jonah's heart really didn't seem to be right even when he did right. And by the way, us preachers, if we'll be honest, amen, every now and then we've done the right thing, but our hearts haven't been right when we've done it. God still blessed it, amen. God still used it because he's still God. His word's still true. But we weren't perfect. And by the way, we're never perfect. Never. Even when we're as good as we can get, we're never perfect. But Jesus was perfect. Jesus was perfect in every way. Jonah preached a message of doom, and yet God sent deliverance. Jesus preached about deliverance, and yet God's going to have to send doom to this old world. And the people of Nineveh are going to rise up one day in judgment against that generation Jesus preached to then and this generation today. Because a greater than Jonah, the Lord Jesus Christ has preached to them. You say, oh, what a miracle, that whale swallowing Jonah and all that. What a miracle, Jesus Christ got up 3 days later, amen. Out of the tomb at sunrise, the sun rose. The rose of Sharon rose to the occasion, amen. The lily of the valleys was found in the garden, amen. That's the greatest miracle ever. Now, here's the question. Revelation chapter number 3. It said you were lukewarm. He said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. That's what happened to Jonah, isn't it? Now here's the question. Will God spew you? Do we make God sick? Do we make God sick or do we please the Lord? When God speaks to our hearts, do we do what we're supposed to do when we are supposed to do it? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you'll just take, Lord, what I've given and use it for a blessing and a help to those who heard it. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.